Good morning. My name's Suzanne Marnaka, and I've been a registered nurse for over 40 years and was a nursing professor at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh for 23 years. I love research, so I was really thrilled to find a lot of health-related articles related to music. There are many documented benefits to performing music, especially choral singing. Singing in groups seems to increase one's self and sense of belonging, as well as reducing pain in people suffering from depression and persistent pain. Research also indicates that choral singing leads to improvements in mental health, healthcare quality of life, and well-being. Additionally, research has shown improvements in symptoms of Parkinsonism and improved ventilation in people with chronic lung diseases. And it may even lead to increased lifespans in the general population. Yes, that's correct. Research indicates one of the most interesting claims is that choral singing is actually increases life expectancy. And I have the abstracts in my purse if anybody wants to see the work. And that was a big study done in 2008 by Harvard. Even before appreciating research, I really found singing joyful. When I was about 6 years old, I distinctly remember watching the choir march into the church, and they were all singing together. And I was so excited. I stood up and began singing too. And apparently, that was not appropriate behavior. And I was quickly seated, and my enthusiastic singing was squelched by an adult in the pew. So singing in choirs has always been a source of familiarity to me and security, especially during junior high and high school, which were very tumultuous for me. I found comfort in joining with other voices and just the multitude of voices singing together. Our Fox Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship has provided a safe place for me and others to sing. Our choir director, Steve Seek, provides a fun and energetic leadership environment where all members of the choir feel included. We have choices, including even a pop-up choir, and some of us may have participated in that, but we literally arrive the morning of the church service, learn the music, and sing. There are also more traditional opportunities for members that want to practice ahead. So Steve has provided an every other Wednesday session for people that want to join that choir and practice, or every other Thursday. So in other words, there are no excuses for those of us that are so busy. There are really opportunities for every one of us in this church. Steve is committed to helping us all be able to find our voice and sing. There's no auditions. You don't have to show up and audition for Steve. You just want to sing, you sing. We're very fortunate to have an environment where we feel like we're contributing to the health and the well-being of our fellowship, but in fact, we're also contributing to our own health. So I hope you'll consider joining us.
I was about 9 years old when Disney's The Little Mermaid came out on VHS, and I loved that movie. I think I watched it about every day for a year. And I also loved to sing all of the songs from that movie at full volume when I was in the shower. I've loved making music and singing for as long as I can remember, but as the quintessential band geek, I was never comfortable singing in front of other people or where other people could hear me. In fact, I really didn't sing much in front of anyone, and just until these last few years when the supportive environment and community of this fellowship helped me find that part of my voice. Not too long ago, I was up here and talking about the idea that making music is risk-free. At best, we create something beautiful, and at worst, we might make a horrible sound, but it's just sound. So nothing bad really happens. But let's take that one step further. Can there even be a bad sound? No two people will share the exact same taste in music, and no music will speak the same to two different people. As Steve pointed out earlier, how incredibly dull the world would be if Bob Dylan and Aretha Franklin, Billie Holiday, Johnny Cash, Cyndi Lauper, Freddie Mercury, Whitney Houston, Robert Plant, Ray Charles, Amy Winehouse all sounded the same. We love these artists, and it's not because they're good. It's because they have shared their voices with us. Just as our first UU principle states that we all have inherent worth simply by our existence, so do our voices. Now, your voice may not be a good fit for Broadway, just as Bob Dylan's voice isn't a good fit for the opera, but it is worthy and beautiful just the same. It is an expression of the music that is within you, and in no place is your voice more welcome than right here. So with that in mind, let us take joy in sharing our voices together now in community with the second part of our sung meditation.
Wisconsin up north, family time. I am 8 years old. Our family is pretty quiet, except for two or three part harmony of row, row, row your boat, twinkle, twinkle, little star, while washing dishes together. Father, not at all talkative, though his quiet appreciations spoke volumes against the squeak and gurgle of oars in the pre-dawn lake water. And at night, other voices, owls outside the window in the high pines that whispered, murmuring to the stars. Sometimes a duet by loons or the solo of a lonely whippoorwill. Distant thunder's voice, heat lightning its candles. Then either the deepest sleep or the stormy night choir of wind waves and rumbles. The daytime squeals and chanting, the swimmer's staccato songs of a warm day in cold water, teasing, challenging, loud splashes and enthusiasm until the swimming ensemble quiets and just the swaying beat of waves gentle against moored boats, the sun going home in the west behind the pines. And always voices in the world, standing out alone as a coyote solo in the mountains, or the blending songs in the woods and lakeside of jays and frogs. The quiet voices of my family, the young and the old, ensemble in a canoe carried through a quiet channel. The stately, slow, creaking voice of tall pines along the shore, touching branches in a dance to the rhythm of the breeze far up. Sometimes the playful choir of young paddlers or summer campers plunging, diving, calling forth until the whistle blows. All this is not quite a choir or a symphony, but a vocal ensemble conducted as a movement of a warm afternoon. Campfires later in my life with the children, road trips driven between campsites to the accompaniment of favorite bluegrass harmonies or rock and roll intensity. Being the car DJ. Even later, expeditions with grandchildren to favorite music in diverse venues, and dances of old with young, new music and old, quiet as well as drama. All this is carried on with memory, hope, and challenge, whether in songs shared in choir or in late evenings, sometimes with a dog at home singing along with the piano. Sometimes in a rehearsal where all the voices merge in a wave of peace, connection, and strength. So music, in all its forms, just like voice, is just a dance of waves, reflections, and harmonies on the liquid surface of life, moved in the form of song, poetry, dance, and color. The autumn calls out with the affirmations of sandhills and geese, the quiet humming of bees preparing for snow. Eventually, please, the lyrics of spring peepers and crickets that praise the warmth of night and day. What still speaks most closely to me amidst the passage of decades is a handwritten stanza from William Butler Yeats' poem, Lake Isle of Innisfree, one of my mother's favorite poems, and written under the glass top of my father's desk some 60 years ago. I will arise and go now, for always, night and day, I hear lake water lapping with low sounds by the shore. While I stand in the on the roadway or on the pavement's gray, I hear it in the deep heart's core. I wish for you, too, to hear the music by the shore, the duet of night and day.